Well, this morning we're going to continue in our study of the nature of God, and we're going to look at His unchanging nature, what theologians call immutability. I want to read to you from Numbers 23, verse 19, just a couple of verses there. I'll give you a moment to look at that. Numbers 23, verse 19. While you're looking at that, Phil, is this your last Sunday today? Possibly. Phil Benedict's been part of the fellowship for a little while now, moving back to Toowoomba. So, brother, if we don't see you before you move, every blessing to you. It's been great to have you as part of us, and we look forward to hearing what God's going to do in your life as you move away from here, but not away from Him. So, bless you, mate. So Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot change it. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we ask that You might enlighten our hearts and our minds to understand the nature of Your unchanging nature and what that means for us and to us. And we pray for the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, the filling of Your Spirit, that we might have wisdom and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a part of a bunch of tragic people who reminisce about the good old days in Caloundra. And because I'm on Facebook, every now and again, photos are posted to, well, I'm not on Facebook, Karen is on Facebook, but I stalk you on Karen's Facebook site. So if you ever hear a comment that you think is very un-Karen-like, it's from me. But I usually try and underscore it with my signature saying from John or whatever it might be. But every now and again, I get photos of the good old days of Caloundra, and they're photos of the 70s and the 80s, and they're pretty dodgy quality. They're, you know, the early colour photos that sort of fade a little bit, well, that's what they're like. But whenever I receive one of those posts, I'm right there in the photo, and I start reminiscing like some old fool, because I know the good old days. When I was 6 years old, my parents started to take us on holidays to Caloundra. We went to Caloundra for about 8 or 9 years, and then when I was 14, we shipped it up there. So I know Caloundra in the 70s and the 80s. I remember the two diving boards at Bullcock Beach. I remember that you could look out from Bullcock Beach and you could look out towards the Glasshouse Mountains, and apart from a row of houses on the esplanade, all you would see was Tea Tree Swamp, and then you could see this unhindered view of the beautiful Glasshouse Mountains. I remember the fairs in Happy Valley over the Christmas holidays. I remember the old lighthouse on Canberra Terrace, the old lighthouse. And I remember once we stayed on holidays not far from it, and every 30 seconds or so, as it rotated, the room that my brother and I were sleeping in would light up with the ambient light from the lighthouse. I remember the days when you didn't or couldn't catch fish, and for us as a family that was quite often, that you could drive up to Mooloolaba on the newly sealed Nicklin Way. It was still a bit of a goat track, but you could drive up to Mooloolaba and you could go to the fish markets, and there were big buckets of fish straight off the trawlers, and you could just choose your poison. So you could buy fish before it ever went to the retailers. I remember the fish and chip shop next to the Salvation Army campsite. And it was so popular that there would be a long lineup, right? Long lineup all the way down the park, and you'd sort of shuffle like this, shuffling, waiting an hour to place your order, waiting another hour to receive your order. I remember the good old days. And it surprises me how much I reminisce about the good old days. But you know what? I hate Caloundra now. I hate it. It is so busy. It is so hectic. It's full of hipsters. that drive their Audis and other SUVs that never leave the main road. And you look out now and you look out towards the Glasshouse Mountains and all you can see is flats and high-rise buildings, and guilty because I've built some of those or I worked on some of them. But I hate it. It's change. And I hate change. I hate it. And change is a relative personal issue, because some of you would say, I love Calandra these days. I love how you can walk along the boardwalk all the way from Bullcock Beach all the way to King's Beach. I love it how there's 14 sets of traffic lights all the way from Currumundi to Mooloolaba. I just love Calandra. And then some of you would say, oh, you remember the old days, do you? The 70s and the 80s. Well, I remember Thompson's General Store in Bowman Avenue. And I remember the old trawler pen in the Tripkenny Caravan Park corner where Coast Guard now have their base. Change, change, whatever you think about it, constant change is here to stay. But God never changes. God never changes. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, God says, I the Lord, I do not change. I do not change. God never changes. And so when we think about the immutability of God, and by the way, that word immutability means that he cannot change, he cannot mutate. We think about his unchanging nature over the generations, over the centuries. He cannot change. And it's not just that he cannot change, he doesn't need to change. I look at myself in the mirror and I think, son, you need to change. And every now and again there's a special person in my life who reminds me, you need to change. There's some things that you can improve on. But God never changes because he is self-contained, self-sufficient, and he is perfect. And he never changes. So, logically and theologically, there's a couple of reasons or a couple of things I want to point to that shed light on that. First of all, for someone to change, there must be a point in time when there was no change, then the change occurred, and then there's a point in time afterwards. And we've all had that experience, haven't we? When someone hasn't seen you for a while, and they say, my, haven't you changed? And then they leave that comment hanging. If they don't qualify it, that comment is left hanging like a time bomb. So is it for the better? Or on Tuesday, I spend a lot of time in the hospital, as you know. And on Tuesday, I was sitting with Karen and I had to go to the loo. So I went to the loo and I came back. And when I came back into the room, where I was sitting was a lady who looked very official, very efficient. She had a laptop on her lap, well, they call it a laptop, and she was typing away, and I just assumed that she was a hospital official, and maybe a nutritionist or something like that. So I just sat down in the seat adjacent to the bed opposite Karen, and I introduced myself to this lady. I said, hi, I'm John, I'm Karen's husband. And I looked up at Karen, and my, Karen had changed. Because in front of me was a bespectacled 70-something year old woman who had at least one set of dentures on holidays. And I was sitting opposite bed 29, not 27. I've missed Karen by one whole room. My, haven't you changed? So to cover the embarrassing moment, these gracious people said, feel free just to sit there and we'll talk to you if you like. But I sort of got up and walked in and sat opposite where my wife, my real wife was, and confessed to her that what had happened. God is not subject to the transition of time and change. The Bible tells us that He is eternal. In fact, there's a wonderful little summary at the end of Psalm 41, from everlasting to everlasting. So while ever God chooses to work within the constraints of time, He's not bound by time. So logically speaking, God cannot change because He's not subject to the transition of chronological time. God's unchangeableness is necessary also for His holiness and for His perfection. So for something to change, there must be a qualitative element to the change, either for the better or for the worse. But the Bible tells us that God is perfect in His holiness. You cannot add to Him or take away. In fact, if you did, He would no longer be God. And thirdly, God cannot change because of His omniscience, which means His capacity to know everything fully and immediately. So He knows everything instantly, completely. And you know what it's like. If we change our mind, it must be because something new has come to life, a new circumstance. And yet God is omniscient. He cannot change. He knows everything. There is nothing that God can learn about that He doesn't already know, even the depths of our own hearts and minds. God cannot change. He will not change. James tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. He cannot change. But you know, over the years I've changed. I used to ride my push bike from the western side of Little Mountain with my surfboard tucked under my arm. And I would ride from there all the way to King's Beach, riding. There used to be a dirt track that went behind where Bunnings is now at Calandra. And if I got to King's Beach and the surf was no good or blown out, then I would ride my bike all the way to Dickey Beach, over Moffat's, over the Dickies. And if the surf wasn't any good there, I was done. I just surfed and I rode home. I remember a time when I got up at 2:30 in the morning. I went to my paper run. I finished that at 6 o'clock. I went home, I had breakfast, then I went to the job site. And I work there till 3:30 or 4. I don't have that capacity anymore. I need a nap in the middle of the day. I love my nap in the middle of the day. Sometimes it's the only thing getting me out of bed in the morning. I've changed. Karen was cutting my hair the other day, a couple of weeks ago. And she said, "You don't have as much hair as you used to have." And ever the logical one, I said, "Of course not, because you've just cut." She said, no, it's going thin. She's pointing out the area where it's going thin, you know. And then she started massaging it, trying to stimulate the growth. I'm changing. I've changed, and you've changed, because we are changeable. I don't think that there's an original molecule in my body from the day I was born, because I am constantly changing. And praise be to God, there is a gracious redemptive element to that, where Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are changing from glory to glory. So there's a good aspect to the change, in as much as God is gracious to us and we are changing. But God never changes. His plans never change. Your plans stand eternal, says the scriptures in Psalm 33. God's way of salvation has never ever changed. God has always said it must be justification by faith. And the Old Testament patriarchs were justified for their faith. Galatians tells us that the scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. What gospel? The gospel of sacrifices? No. The gospel of good works? No. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament patriarchs looked forward in faith and expectation to the day of Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation has never, ever changed. It has always been justification by faith in the redeeming salvation work of Jesus. God's nature never changes. God's heart of compassion never changes. So what does all of this mean for you and for me? Is this just a wonderful discussion about the metaphysical aspect of God? No, it means so much more. It means this, that when you and I walk into the presence of God, we need not fear that He has changed. We need not fear a God who is, after all, our Heavenly Father, that He might be in a bad mood, that He's not receptive to our call and our need. He doesn't keep 9-to-5 office hours. He doesn't change. The God who parted the Red Sea is the God who parts the waters of the trouble in our life today. The God who fed the Israelites with manna is the God who will provide for His children today. He does not change. And so you can go into His presence with utmost confidence. And you know that the God that you call on is the same God who has compassion for babies and the sick and the lost. The same God who drove out Adam and Eve of the Garden of Eden has the same disposition towards sin. The same God, that hasn't changed. But He's the same God who welcomes sinners and reminds us of Jesus once stood and said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The same God. And His compassion and His love and His grace is the same. Jeremiah wrote, he's the author of a couple of books, and one of them is the Book of Lamentations. Jeremiah wrote the Book of Lamentations, this is the context, when he was walking through the rubble of Jerusalem, his beloved city, and the temple. And for Jeremiah, everything had changed. Where once was a magnificent city and a temple, everything had changed. Everything was devastated. You ever feel that way? You ever feel that when you look at your life, perhaps not over the length of your life, but your current circumstances, everything is changing. And not necessarily for the best. And you look at what is devastation in your life? Well, listen to what Jeremiah said. "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou wilt forever be." I pray this morning that you can walk into the presence of a God, knowing that He has not changed, He will not change, and He will welcome you with compassion and love, with the grace of the Heavenly Father. And some of you are thinking to know that this morning. Some of you need to just sit with that thought. God is not. Let's stand and sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."